Blog Talk Radio.
Fastlane Sports Nation. Welcome to part two of today's Fastlane Sports Show presented by Ultralight Railway Brake Sticks. And I am very excited. We have a very special guest returning to this show. He's been on here several times. I'm excited to talk to him. He will be joining us very soon on the Barbasol Shave phone lines. So if you're ready, I'm already warmed up. Let's go.
From the 357 Woodworks Studios in Stark County, on the SNS Radio Network, this is the Fastlane Sports Show. And now, your host, Pete Tottich.
Come on, 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 come on
Presented by Ultralight Railway Brake Sticks. And of course, I am your host, Pete. And today's guest is driver of the number 77 K2 Motorsports Toyota Camry, Mr. Kevin Cromer. Joined now by Mr. Kevin Cromer on the Barbasol Shave phone lines. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. I'm relaxing.
Well, that's good. it's a beautiful, sunny-ish, warm kind of day here in Ohio. So I'm hoping wherever you're at today that you're having good weather. I know you'd probably like to be on a racetrack in your car right now, but some of that has been put on hold, but it's good to have you back on the show. Kevin is joining us today on the Barbasol Shave phone lines. We are pleased and excited to talk to you today to see what to expect for 2020. That is, of course, if we can get to go racing.
Well, over the winter, we acquired another race car, and we're going to have two cars this year. Not at every racetrack, though, just at a couple. We acquired a bigger trailer in order to bring two, which has been taking up about the last month of my time. So the postponement of the racing sort of worked in my favor a little bit. We just pretty much worked real hard all winter long. We have two fresh motors from Linedecker Racing Engines. He does a terrific job with our motors. He was a big part in our championship season. Other than that, we're just pretty much going to go at it race by race like we did last year and try and defend what we accomplished last year. It's going to be a hard year to duplicate that. Seven wins in our series is pretty hard to do. It's pretty hard to win one, let alone seven. But I'm pretty sure the competition will be stepped up this year.
Yeah. Kevin, you know, 12 years now you've been in the Super Cup Stock Car Series, but we'll call it 11 full-time years because that first year back in 2008, I believe you only ran one race. So, 11 full-time years in the Super Cup Stock Car Series. And in those first 10 years, you know, you had a couple close seasons where you almost got that championship. You know, you finished second. Twice in the points, but Kevin, in 2019, you finally checked off that one thing that was hanging over your head in that series, and that was winning the championship last year. Could you maybe walk us through the 2019 season? You know, 19 races you guys ran. You finished with 7 wins and led 325 laps. I don't know. To me, that sounds pretty dominating.
Yeah, it was a pretty dominating season. It pretty much started in 2018. At the end of the season, I purchased a car from J.J. Pack. And the car I purchased was actually the 2017 championship car from Jimmy Crabtree. And with J.J.'s knowledge and working with me a little bit, and then with knowledge from guys like Bob Shack and a couple other competitors, I was able to put together a really, really good season. It took a lot of hard work. We had our ups and downs. We blew a motor at Kingsport qualifying, and the Butler team stepped up, gave me a ride. We went to Midvale, turned fast time, got the pole award, redrew a third position, and I got tangled up. You know, it was a driver error, I call it, tangled up in a wreck on lap 3, I believe, and that took us out. And Jason Shue stepped up, gave us a ride in his car to keep my points. Other than that, we just went to every race. We went there to win, but we went there with a plan to come out, you know, with the most points. I'm not a big guy on point racing, but this was the best year that I've had in a long time racing with the Super Cup Series, especially since what I went through the past 3.5 years. It was pretty up and down. So, like, Salem with a plan to finish the race, not necessarily to win. I saw the track, never raced on it. Wasn't quite sure, but we were pretty darn good out there. But I stuck to the plan, and we came home with 2/3, and that kept us in the point lead.
What was the biggest challenge for 2019 that you faced? You know, you're looking at the stats and you see 7 wins and you see that you led 325 laps for the year. But we all know that the road to championships are not easy, no matter what series that you're driving in. What were some of the biggest challenges for you last year to get to that championship?
The biggest challenge is winning the pole award, because that's 5 points, and it could be 5-6 guys that can win a pole at any given race, and 5-6 guys can win a race at any given, you know, any time. But the biggest challenge was getting the bonus points, because my Ron Langdon, that was second to me, you know, he was dominating, you know, that area too. So he could have won at any time, and he was always finishing either second or third to me when I won, or a little bit ahead of me or something. So the biggest thing I had to do was I had to lead the most laps. I had to lead halfway, and I had to win pole awards to get them extra bonus points. The other hardest part was when we blew the motor, I didn't have a spare motor. So we reverted back to Leyendecker Racing engines, and, you know, we purchased a motor from a competitor. In fact, it was J.J. Pack. I purchased a motor, and Jason went over it and made sure everything was good, and we sort of finished the year out with that. So that was the biggest hurdle, was the motor. And then plus running consistent every race. Like I said, at Salem, we went with a game plan, and we stuck to it. If I'd have faltered from that game plan, I could have come out of there wrecked or a bad finish. So it was just preparation in the shop and sticking to the game plan that we went to every race with.
Well, hopefully this year in 2020, you get to defend your title and go racing. But before we talk too much more about what this season holds ahead for you, Kevin, for some of maybe our first time listeners to the show, or maybe some people who aren't too familiar with the Super Cup Stock Car Series, how did you get to this level of the series? What was the road like to the Super Cup Stock Car Series?
I ran Hooters Pro Cup in, I think, 03 to 05, we ran Hooters Pro Cup. And the Super Cup Stock Car Series is like a throw-off of Hooters Pro Cup. Joe Schmeling put this series together in 2008, and it was for the guys that had the older Pro Cup cars for something to do with them. And he had called me, you interested. So I purchased a car in 08, and that's why we only ran one race in 08. I had just bought the car midway through that season. And then we went full-time in 09 until now. But it took a lot of learning. It was a big learning curve for me. I depended on a lot of people with a lot of knowledge. I mean, these cars aren't like your street stock that you run every Saturday night. There's a whole lot more to them. And plus, you're racing with the same bunch of guys, but all these guys come from different areas of the country, and they all have different styles of driving. When you run with the same people that you on a Saturday night, you learn their style. You learn how they run. You learn their lines. You learn what they do. When you go into a traveling series, you're racing with guys that ran from West Virginia, Ohio, western part of PA, Indiana. You're racing with a whole bunch of different people, and it takes a lot of time to learn. It's a big learning curve, and plus the learning curve of the cars. So it took probably me 5-6 years until I could get up that I could run up in the top five with some of these guys. So it's a long road. You just don't do it overnight.
Yeah, I'm sure that it is a big learning curve to change series like that, like you said, to start driving around different guys. Let's talk about 2020 a little bit and what people can expect maybe when they see the 77 hauler pulling in to the track this year. You mentioned it at the beginning of this show. You have purchased a second car, so the K2 Motorsports will now be a two-car team. If you want to elaborate on that a little bit more, what was the goal behind getting the second car? Are there any plans of running both cars at a race, or is it going to be a backup car? What kind of is the plan around that?
Plan is to have a backup car, but like I said, there's only maybe two or three races we'll bring to the races because of the distance we haul. Like there's certain races like Indiana and stuff. I don't believe I'll take two to those races, but the plan is to have a backup car and to run whichever car is the best at that suited time at that track. And the other thinking was if one of my sons is available, I might put them in the car. I have a driver that helped me the past few races that he races. He's a regular at Jennerstown. And when we're there, I might put him in the car. Or if somebody, you know, I would need it, you know, we would put a good caliber driver in it. I'm not going to put a beginner in it or anything like that. But, you know, it's just there. I had purchased it actually a year ago, and I just finally got it put together. So it was just, you know, to have a backup, even if it sits in the shop or one sits in the shop, just so if something bad happens, I don't have to crash real bad to get something put back together. We can take our time and just move on and bring another car to the next race. So, you know, it just, there's a lot of factors in it.
Yeah. We are talking to Kevin Cromer. He is driver of the number 77 Toyota in the Super Cup Stock Car Series. He's joining us today on the Barbasol Shave phone lines. Kevin, I hear that you have a new sponsor for the 2020 season, the High Voltage AC/DC Tribute Band. How exciting was that to get them to join you guys this year on the car?
That was a pretty good time. It's a great experience. We have been at quite a few concerts they put on. And their biggest thing is what hit it off with us is with My Mission Racer, my nonprofit. They're big into doing benefits for different things. Mike DeMeo and that group there, they do a big benefit in Baltimore, Maryland that we were invited to last year for Casey Cares. And they raise a lot of money to let terminally ill kids do things that they might not be able to do. So they came on board to help us promote My Mission Racer, which I donate the proceeds to the Lehigh Valley Cancer Institute. And they're just a great bunch of guys. I mean, we've been invited to several of their activities, and they just put on one heck of a good show.
And I hear there's rumors that maybe the two cars that you have this year are kind of named after something that kind of goes along with the sponsor.
Yeah, the one I ran last year, we named it Thunderstruck because I like that song. And when that car hit the track, it was like thunder come down on you. I mean, that car there is the best race car I've ever owned in over 30 years of racing. And then when we bought the when we got the new one, we figured we'd make it back in black because we're coming back in black. If there's a new color scheme this year, the cars are black, but there's some added features to them. We didn't unveil them as of yet. I'm sure my wife will be doing that when we get closer to the IRP race.
Well, we'll definitely be checking that out and waiting to see that because I'm sure that'll be exciting. Kevin, I want to talk some about the tracks. You mentioned some of the different tracks. And of all the tracks that you guys travel to race in the Super Cup Stock Car Series, maybe which one is your favorite to race on? And then which one is your favorite to go to from a scenic perspective, you know, maybe the area surrounding it, or, you know, it's definitely a track that you have circled on your calendar because it might make a good vacation or getaway weekend as well, just with the things that surround the track that you get to go do. So maybe from both perspectives, you know, which tracks do you most enjoy going to?
Well, I really don't have a favorite track. The track I enjoy racing on the most, and it's because of the speed, the size of the track and the speed, and it's a new racetrack. There's a lot of grip, is Dominion Speedway. That track there, it's not a real technical racetrack, but it is fast. Out of all the tracks, the most scenic one would be Midvale, and that's because of the Football Hall of Fame. I got to see the Football Hall of Fame. My sons got to see it. My son's friends got to see it. So we, you know, you can come out there and race at Midvale, and you go an hour down the road, and you're at the Football Hall of Fame, which is, I thought was really neat to see. Jennerstown, you're out there, you can go 20, 30 minutes down Route 30, you can see the Flight 93 Memorial. I really enjoy racing at Jennerstown. The fan support there has been terrific since my battle with cancer. It's just about all the tracks we go to, I enjoy racing on. But, you know, there's a couple that I run really well at, and those would be my favorite.
Okay. We enjoy all the racetracks, of course, and the fans that do show up and the track promoters, and they're all great racetracks. But I kind of like to dig into the drivers to see which ones they really like to drive on. But I understand it is hard to pick one of, just, you know, to say that is your favorite. But Kevin, let's talk about some of your sponsors for a minute, because I kind of want people to hear your story, and it's an awesome story. It's an inspirational story, and I know that there are motivational people alive in this world, good, honest people that are strong and people we can look up to. And I kind of want you to explain to us how you got the Lehigh Valley Cancer Institute as a sponsor on your car, and what, how it ties into the Mission Racer Foundation, because, you know, your racing is an inspiration to a lot of people. So I kind of would like you to share that story with our listeners.
We had good insurance. I had a lot of support backing me to go through it. But as I was doing it, I met people that didn't have what I had. And it made me feel bad, because some of the people I would sit in the waiting room, like for my radiation, and I'd talk to some of the people, and they didn't even know how they were going to put gas in their car to get to their next radiation treatment because they weren't working. So that's when I talked to my wife about doing the Mission Racer. I wanted to do something. And then we coordinated with the advertising department of Lehigh Valley, and they agreed, you know, to let us run the logo on the car and to help promote my Mission Racer. So as far as any monetary exchanges, there is no monetary exchanges from Lehigh Valley. They are promoting my Mission Racer, which in turn, the better I do in my nonprofit, they benefit, because that money, you know, the money gets donated back to the Cancer Institute and the research center. And it all came together when I was done with my surgery and stuff and still had remnants of the cancer left. They put me in a clinical trial, which is the research center. And that's how it pretty much all came about. I mean, I had a ton of support from the drivers in my series to the fans at all the racetracks. And It was just, I needed all that to go through this because, you know, you never know what the outcome is going to be. You know, I could have not come out of the operation. I had a real serious surgery that they had to do to me, and I didn't know if I'd ever race again. So, but the outpouring and the support I had made me keep pushing. In fact, the year I had it done, we were supposed to race at Rockingham, and that was the carrot in front of my mouth, because September, and I swore up and down I'd be ready to crawl in a race car in October to run that race at Rockingham. Well, the race never happened, and everybody knew it wasn't going to happen, and nobody never told me, because if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have pushed so hard to get better. But that was, you know, that's how inspirational it is. And I talk to people all the time. If they want to know something, I give them my opinion. I tell them what I went through, how I handled it, and what kept me driving forward, because I'm a strong believer in it's mind over matter. You know, mm-hmm. You put your mind to something, you can get it done.
Well, it's a very inspirational story, Kevin, and I'm glad that you were able to share it with us and with our listeners. And it's definitely, you know, in days like this, the world that we live in, it's nice to have somebody to, you know, look up to and inspire other people that are going through the same thing, you know, that you can stand there and say, look, I've been through this. I know what you're dealing with, and I came out on top and I beat it. And for you to be able to take that into a nonprofit like Mission Racer Foundation and be able to share that with other people, I believe that inspires other people and helps them out. And that's awesome.
Yeah, that was the whole intent behind it, was just to help, you know, people out. I don't ton of money, because, you know, it takes a lot to get something like that going. I mean, we had a big benefit with High Voltage scheduled March 21st. We sold over 200 tickets, and we have so many donations, monetary donations and prizes to give away at this big benefit we were going to have. And then we got hit with this pandemic, and it shut us down. Now we do have it rescheduled for August 29th, and it will be at the Gin Mill in Northampton, Pennsylvania. We're hoping that things will be lifted, that we can at least put that on. Because we're hoping to raise close to $10,000 and to be able to donate, you know, back.
That's pretty awesome. How has the reception been amongst your fellow competitors in the Super Cup Stock Car Series there with the Mission Racer Foundation? I'm sure that they are supportive of that. And has anybody ever, you know, helped out or, you know, made any donations to support the cause as well?
Yeah, most of the drivers donated something. I think it was 18. Bob Shack won both races at Midvale. And I remember this. He was being ready to be interviewed, and he wouldn't interview until they got me out there in the racetrack. I got wrecked in the second race. I got wrecked out and something wrong. And here he wanted to present me with presented me with his winnings that night to my Mission Racer. So he was a big contributor. And like I said, everybody in the series donated something somewhere at some point in time, that, you know, they're a big backer in it, because we do have some competitors that and owners that are still going through treatments. We had some competitors that the family members went through it. So it just wasn't just me. There's more people out there going through it that you just don't know about, but I know about it because they come to me. In fact, the one owner of the team, and I'm not going to say who it is, was going through it when I got diagnosed, and we went in his hauler, and he talked to me for over an hour about what to expect with medication, what to expect this and what to expect there. And I took his advice, and I took it one step farther, and I was able to function through my chemo and radiation.
Well, that's pretty awesome, and I appreciate, again, Kevin, I appreciate you sharing that story with us and with our listeners. We are talking with Kevin Cromer. He is the driver of the number 77 Toyota in the Super Cup Stock Car Series. He is joining us today on the Barbasol Shave phone lines. Kevin, if you don't mind, we have a couple fan questions that I'd like to ask you to see what they would like to see your answers on some of these. So if you don't mind, taking a couple fan questions. Is that all right?
All right.
Well, the first one is, what is the biggest challenge for you switching between, you know, your real life blue collar working to during the week and then showing up to your race life on the weekend? Because, you know, we know NASCAR drivers, you know, they do that for a living. So they've got sponsor requirements all week. And then, you know, they show up to the racetrack on the weekend. That is their life. But, you know, the blue collar drivers like you that have a regular life during the week, they want to know what the biggest challenge is switching between that and then showing up and getting in the race mode on the weekends.
Now, the biggest challenge is I own my own business, so I have a lot on my plate all the time between scheduling jobs and keeping work for the employees and all that. The biggest challenge is trying to schedule around to get off that I can, you know, have work scheduled or not schedule work to get to the racetrack. And then it's the hours I spend after I'm done working. I go home, and you can ask my wife, I'm in that shop 24/7. I mean, and that's what it takes. Any racer, and even a Saturday night racer, knows that when you're done eating supper, you're in the shop working because you need to prepare. So it's hard mentally to balance, and sometimes it gets overwhelming, but you have to find a happy medium somewhere. So when I come home, I do my business work, I take care of that, and I go right into racing mode, and we go in the shop and we work. And the weeks we race, I schedule work accordingly, which for doing that. And as far as for sponsors, when we made the commercial for Lehigh Valley, it took 6 months to make a 20-minute commercial, and then they only showed 5 minutes of it. That was really hard for me to juggle work and to be at certain locations at certain times. So it's more mental, and you just have to find a happy medium and a balance. And then you have to fit in somewhere. My wife does this to me all the time. We'll go away camping just to get me out of that mode because I need to rest my mind.
Yeah. All right. The second fan question is, they want to know, do you ever reach for your turn signal in your race car when you're changing lanes on the track, you know, driving around during the week, doing your own personal thing in your own vehicles? They want to know, have you ever gotten in that habit so much that you reach for the turn signal in your race car?
No, I never did that yet. But now that someone said something, I probably will. Now, when I get in the race car, you're in a different mode. You know, you're in that competitive mode, and your full concentration is on doing what you need to do. But the only thing I do, and anybody drives on a car on the road, is using your rear view mirror, your side view mirror as well. I have a 5-way mirror and on a rear view mirror, and I have one on the side. I'm always looking in the mirror, and sometimes I should be looking straight ahead. So we do use mirrors.
Yeah. Well, that's neat. And then our third and final fan question is, they want to know, is having a spotter talking to you during the race distracting, or is it like when you're driving your street car and you have the radio on? Is it that same thing, or you know, having that spotter in your helmet while you're racing, is it distracting or not?
No, to me it's not. I have a really good spotter, Rick Wellick. He comes in from Pittsburgh area. He comes to all our races. He pretty much drives me around that racetrack. I mean, you know what you're doing, but you know, the cars with full containment seats, the Hans device and everything we need for safety, you can't move your head. So I can't see out the right side of my car or the left side unless somebody, you know, is directly even with you. So you need him to tell you when you're clear or how far they are behind you, or if you're 3 wide, you're 2 wide. It's not a distraction. I don't say a lot back to him, and everyone on my team knows if I'm not talking back, we're doing good, because then when I start hollering back, that means something's wrong, ain't going right. But no, it's not a distraction. And it is the same as listening to a race on a car. You get used to it.
Oh, all right. Well, those are some good questions. We're glad that people submitted some questions for us to ask, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate you taking some time to answer some of those questions. Kevin, we have heard about a couple of your sponsors so far today. What are all of these sponsors? I'll give you a chance to kind of give a shout out to the rest of your sponsors on your car, because we all know that in racing, no matter what level, it could be just the local small town track driver who races on Saturday nights all the way up to NASCAR at the cup level, that sponsors are very important to drivers. It helps keep them at the racetrack. So, Kevin, I'll kind of give you as much time as you want here to talk about some of the other sponsors and any of all of your sponsors that help get your cars to the racetracks each weekend.
Okay. Well, we all know we have High Voltage, the premier AC/DC band. Like I said, they do great work for us with promoting my Mission Racer. And that's, you know, front and foremost, that is what I need to do. The Lehigh Valley, they help promote the same thing. So those two sponsors are really big with me. They're monetary. I'm not getting no monetary out of them. Technically, I am, because AC/DC, you know, the High Voltage does the show for it. But they help me make money to promote my nonprofit, which helps people, and that's what the main deal is there. Then we have VersaLift East, which they, when you see the lift trucks with the big bucket trucks and stuff like that, they do all that. They do all my graphics for me. They print them out, and then the one guy that helps me on the crew, he also works there. He comes up, and he letters my car. So they give me all the lettering and the wraps and stuff, which saves me a lot of money on vinyl. We have Mahoning Valley Speedway. That's Jack and Rebecca Carlino. He owns the local racetrack. That's only 20 minutes from me, where I raced for 20 years. He helps me out with the fuel bill for the race car, because he supplies me with fuel. We have a deal worked out. And we have Linedecker Racing Engines, which he builds a tremendous race engine. I mean, he has so many championships on the dirt side. I was able to give him his first championship on a touring division on the asphalt, which was a real good thing to do for him. He supplies us with our motors, and he makes tremendous power. And that had a lot to do with us winning the season, the championship, because he kept me going. I think that's really all we have, which is a lot considering the day and age we live in now.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Along with the sponsors, we also know, anyone who follows racing knows, that there is more to the car than just the driver. Of course, it takes a whole team. Who are some of the people that help you, whether during the week at the shop, or even guys that maybe travel with you to the racetracks to help work on the car? Who are some of the guys on the team?
Well, at the shop, I have my wife dedicates a lot of time to me when I need her. Sit in the car to scale it and hold the brake and get off the brake, roll your front, roll your back, one of them deals. I have Pete Wada, local chief of police. He helps me at the shop, and he also goes to the races. We have a guy named Kuda. He helps me at the shop and goes to some of the races. And then the traveling guys, we've got Rick Wellick, Robert Wellick, and then Chris Brink and Dan Brink both came to the races at the end of the year there to help me win this championship. So them four guys there live out near Pittsburgh. Chris is a regular competitor at Jennerstown. So he showed up at a lot of the races to help when he got the car wrecked. He wasn't going back this year. I'm sure they'll give me a hand at Jennerstown, because I understand he's going back racing full time this year at Jennerstown.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about, I mean, between the kids, my kids and my wife, that's pretty much it at the shop, and we just prepare the best we can.
Now, Kevin, we also know behind every great driver is a great wife. And we've heard you mention her a couple times today. But how important is it for you in your entire racing career, dating all the way back to when you very first started? How important is it to you? I like to ask every driver this, to have that family support for you when you race on the weekends.
We should have her on here, because she can tell you how many times I've quit and selling every day. But she gave up a lot in the past 28 years that we're together for me to do what I do. You know, she was there when I went. The biggest thing was when I went through my cancer. If it wouldn't have been for her and my family, I probably would have gave up on that, because, you know, it's just, it's a mindset. And but she deals with a lot. She hears it when things don't go right. She's the first one that's got to hear it. So, and she just, she struts it off. But no,
yeah.
without her, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now.
That's good. Yeah, we like to hear the family support that a lot of drivers talk about, and that's great. Well, Kevin, unless we missed something, if there's something else that we missed that you want to hit on or talk about real quick, I think we got it all in.
Yeah, I think we covered pretty much everything that we're doing. I just hope we can get this 2020 season going. It looks pretty good for our first race at IRP or Lucas Oil Raceway Park. I forget what the name of it is right now. I just hope we can get this what's going on in this world behind us and get to some racing. You know, do the best we can do and just do it as safe as we can do. And I guess that's all that's left to say.
Yes, sir. Well, I too hope that we get the 2020 race season going, starting back up with NASCAR tomorrow at Darlington. But I want to see these small town short tracks. I know it's hard and difficult. You know, over the last 5 or 6 years, Kevin, we've seen so many small town short tracks close up just because the fan attendances were down or the driver counts were down and they couldn't maintain. And you see so many more that are doing so well, and then this pandemic hits and you see them struggling now. So I hope that we can, like you say, get this behind us and get everything open and get some small town short track racing going. And I hope that we can get the Super Cup Stock Car Series schedule going full bore and see if you can defend your title in 2020 and maybe bring home a second championship.
Well, we're sure going to give it our best effort to try, but like I said, I don't think I know the competition is stepping up for this year. It's going to be a whole new ball game, and we'll just prepare the best we can every week and take every race one at a time.
Well, we'll definitely be following along, and hopefully maybe we'll see you at Jennerstown later this year or somewhere. And if not, though, good luck to you, Kevin, on your 2020 season, and we wish you the best, and maybe you'll come back on next year as a two-time champion.
Well, it's a good possibility, and thanks, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, you have a great rest of your weekend. All right, that was Kevin Cromer joining us. He is a past guest of the show, and he is driver of the number 77 Toyota with K2 Motorsports there in the Super Cup Stock Car Series. We always enjoy talking to Kevin. He's got a great story there and very inspirational. And we always love talking to him. We always make sure we see him and talk to him at the racetracks as well whenever we're there with the Super Cup Stock Car Series. So that does it for part two of the Fast Lane Sports Show. Hope you all enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Kevin. To find out more about Kevin, you can find K2 Motorsports on Facebook. You can also look up the Super Cup Stock Car Series online. I believe it's scscs.com. You can also find the Super Cup Stock Car Series on social media, on Facebook and Twitter. You can follow along. You can find them there on the internet. You can find the schedule and any updates that they are doing right now about their season, as everything else is also in limbo. We'll be waiting to see when their season officially gets started. We'll be keeping a close eye on that. And who knows, we might even have the PR guy for the Super Cup Stock Car Series, a good friend of the show as well. Mr. Aaron Creed will be, we've been in contact with him over the last couple weeks, but we will try and maybe get him on the show here in a week or so as well and see if we can talk to him and ask him a little bit more about the 2020 race season with the Super Cup guys and get some more information out of him. But for now, that does it today for us completely. We are done for the day. Hope you all enjoyed both shows, and we hope that you guys all have a great rest of your Saturday and your weekend. We've got a lot of NASCAR coming up over the next 2 weeks, so I hope you guys are ready. Next Saturday, we should have a lot to update. Of course, we have our Fastlane Sports Show expert pick'ems for the NASCAR Challenge. We've got those picks in from earlier today. Christina is going with pole sitter Brad Keselowski. Our intern John goes with Kevin Harvick. And Matty Ice picked Eric Jones. I'm going with Alex Bowman for tomorrow's race. We'll see how that ends up, and we'll see how the points shake up after Sunday. And then Tuesday, we will be talking to the experts and getting their picks for the Wednesday race at Darlington. So stay tuned to all of our social media for all of that. But until then, we hope you guys have a great, safe rest of your weekend. Hope you guys enjoy the nice weather out there. For everybody here at the Fastlane Sports Show, of course, I'm your host, Pete. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you next week. See ya!